do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you. Why do...
Sorry, I know. Some was cruel. So I remember that song from junior high dances at Ordean. It was one of those songs that had you looking across the room for that cute girl who was in your math class and required that you muster up every last bit of courage you could to make your way across the floor of the cafeteria or the area where we had those dances to see if she might dance a slow dance with you. And to be honest, when I start to think about that, I can almost feel a little bit of that anxiety and the quickened heartbeat and the sweaty palms and then the stabbing pain when she said no. It's really unique how powerful feeling memories are. So I don't want to be the only one standing around in a puddle of feelings this morning, so I'm going to ask you to join me. Hope you're ready. So recall a time when you felt something very deeply, when that feeling really penetrated into the depth of your heart and soul. I hope it's a good feeling memory, but think about a time when you felt something really deeply. Okay, breathe. Recall a time when you felt some deep insight into yourself or into life or into the world. Some time when this maybe sort of light bulb went off in your mind or in your heart. Okay, breathe again. Now think about a time when you felt close to God, when you felt touched by God in some deep place in your life. Breathe again. Are there deep places in your life where you need the touch of God right now? Places of hurt? Places where you need forgiveness? Places of joy? Of wonder? Places of discernment? I've mentioned this past week I was at the annual gathering of the Minnesota Conference of the United Methodist Church. It's the 31st time I've attended. One of the ways I mark that is so we celebrate people who've retired. And when you're a young clergy person, and I went right from college to seminary, so I was in my first church at age 24, 25, and the retirees spoke, and yet absolutely no idea who any of these people were. They just seemed really old. Nice, but really old. And then, over the years, well, these people have been your mentors. You know, you knew them, and they were kind of the... And at the time, it was, years ago, when I was a young clergy person, it was all men who were retiring. Then there's mentors, and you did begin to notice a change, more women among them, but they were still people who were, you knew were definitely before you. And then you get to that place where people who you were ordained with are retiring, and that's a really weird feeling. You know, people who've been good friends are retiring. Now, some of them, I did have a person who retired who was ordained the same year I was. He was a little bit older when he got into ordained ministry. I'm not at that point yet, but still, it feels kind of different. Anyway, it's a great time in so many ways, annual conference. We connect with old friends, longtime colleagues. I enjoy greeting people who I may not know all that well, but I just recognize, maybe just from annual conference. One of the things I get to do is help the bishop with parliamentary procedure. Most of the time he doesn't need me, didn't need me at all this year, but I was there. And over the years, I've had a lot of memorable experiences at annual conference. And there have been times, and I can't say it's happened every annual conference, but there's been times at annual conference where I really have felt the touch of God deeply. Felt God touch me in those deep places of my heart and soul. I recall annual conference 1987. We were at Gustavus Adolphus. We've been at St. Cloud now for many years, but that year we were on the campus of Gustavus Adolphus College. And it was a year I knew that I would be leaving my first church appointment, which was in Roseau, Minnesota. I was going back to school. We were moving to Dallas, Texas. And I remember the closing worship service, and we were all standing up singing, "Here I Am, Lord." And there's a part of that song where it says, "I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." And at that moment, I was wondering deeply how I was going to do that. I was leaving a church, going back to school, and yet I knew that in some ways those people would always be a little bit of a part of my heart, but I was going to have to do that in a very different way. And it was a really deep moment for me. Some other times, I remember in the summer of 1998, I was appointed a district superintendent in the United Methodist Church at the Northwest District of Minnesota. District superintendents are, we travel around a lot. When churches are having difficulty, we get to go. But we get to do some really nice things, too. I mean, we were at charge conferences for churches, and it was a wonderful way to get to know a lot of pastors in our conference. Anyway, I was appointed to do that, and one of the things that they do before you actually start, or just after you start being a district superintendent, is you go off to this national training for district superintendents. It's about a week-long thing, and it's kind of overwhelming. You're just bombarded with information. You leave with at least 3 loose-leaf notebooks of all the stuff, one of which is like a legal manual. You know, that's just doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But anyway, somewhere along the line, I'd gotten into this habit when I was gone, going to be on a retreat or something for 4 or 5 days. I discovered that one of the neat things that can happen or that I liked to do was find a letter of the New Testament and read a chapter a day, just for my own personal devotional and spiritual time. And I remember that week in particular because I was reading the book of Colossians, and I got to the end of the first chapter, and there is this wonderful phrase. Paul is writing at the end of the first chapter of Colossians about helping people mature in Christ. And then there were these words that seemed written just for my heart. Paul writes, "For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that God powerfully inspires within me. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy God powerfully inspires within me." And I thought, that's just what I need as I'm taking on this new job. This sense that I will toil and struggle with all the energy God powerfully inspires within me to help people mature in Christ. And frankly, it's been something that I've held close to me whenever I think about being a pastor, being in ministry. It's not all toil and struggle. I don't mean to, you know, that sounds really negative. But just that sense that I'm going to give it my all with all the energy that God inspires within me so that people can know God and grow in God's love in Jesus Christ. For me, that's really the heartbeat of what it means to be a pastor. And when I read that at that moment, that was very moving and very powerful. There are moments here in worship that touch me deeply. So I know I'm a part of planning worship. I do help with that, for worship. But I'll be honest, there are things that happen in worship that take me by surprise. And I'm not just talking about the children's time. That often does. But things that happen that take me by surprise that literally send chills and lead me to wonder. Not wonder as in puzzlement, but that sense of awe and wonder. And one was just a couple weeks ago. It was May 17th. It was the Sunday after Confirmation Sunday. And Confirmation Sunday is often that kind of day for me too. But I knew we were going to have that day in worship a slideshow that we intended to be show pictures of things that had been happening in the church as a way to say thank you. Thank you to all of you for all of the things you do to help make this church the place it is. And I happen to think it's a pretty good place. And it was a way to thank you for that. I hadn't seen the slideshow before we saw it together that morning. And I watched it, and it was beautifully done. And then right after that, we welcomed new people into the membership of our church. And I thought, that's like just perfect. It was what being the church is all about. You show people what we do, who we are, what we're about, and you invite them on the journey. So some of you have noticed this new banner as we're leaving, go and make disciples of all nations. And for some folks, I know there's a little bit of discomfort because your image of going and making disciples is somebody accosting you on the street corner with their Bible asking you if they're saved. That's not what that's about. That's about telling people who we are, what we're about, where we're going, and inviting them to join us if they'd like. I love the image of the road on that banner. And that happened that Sunday, and it just gave me chills. Writer and former pastor Brian McLaren talks about this kind of deep oneness and open, deep encounter with God's Spirit as naked spirituality. And here's what he says about it. The possibility of being naked and not ashamed. Naked before God and naked before one another too, so we have no need to cover up, to protect, to posture, to dress, to impress, just the freedom to be who we are, what we are, as we are, at their best. Religious and spiritual communities help us discover this pure and naked spiritual encounter. I know for some of you, we've used the word naked all too often in that small quote, but I like that sense. Because often when we think about the church, we think about putting on everything we can to look as nice as we can, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what we really want deep inside is this encounter with God in Jesus that goes beyond the surface. We want to know that God cares about us and that we can care about each other in powerful ways. I love, it's reflected a little bit in the purpose statement, especially the first part of the purpose statement of the United Methodist Women, which is on the front cover of the bulletin. The organized unit of United Methodist Women shall be a community of women whose purpose is to know God and to experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ. There's more to it than that, but that's that kind of spirituality. And Brian McLaren's book is called Naked Spirituality, and he describes that kind of journey with God in 12 words. Hear, thanks, oh, sorry, help, please, when, no, why, behold, yes, and then he leaves kind of a dot, dot, dot for this 12th word. But then he says this, the goal of all spirituality is to lead the naked person to stand truthfully before the naked God. All we can offer to God is who we really are. True religion helps us grow. There has to be movement toward the still center, the depths of our being, where, according to the mystics, we find the presence of God. The late priest and spiritual writer Henri Nouwen talked about spirituality as moving into the house of love, and one part of that journey, he said, was intimacy. The home, the intimate place The place of true belonging is therefore not a place made by human hands. It is fashioned for us by God, who came to pitch tent among us, to invite us to his place and prepare a room for us in his own house. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are children of God. When have you felt close to God? When have you felt God touch those deepest places in your life? And are there deep places today where you need to know and feel that touch of God again? Places maybe of hurt, places where you need forgiveness, places of joy, places of awe and wonderment, places of questioning and discernment. God's invitation is always to a more intimate relationship. This God who is as close to us as our heartbeat, whose spirit as breath is as close to us as our breath. We are known and we are loved and we're invited to grow. There's this beautiful saying from the Talmud, a work of Jewish spirituality and interpretation, which says, every blade of grass has its angel that bends over it and whispers, grow. Grow. The Spirit touches the deepest places in our lives if we're open to God, aware of God. Take that time. Let the Spirit do the Spirit's work in your life. You are known. You are loved. You have an angel that whispers in your ear, grow, grow. Amen.